Lucas, you've chopped your onion and your celery incredibly finely. Is this the secret to a really good risotto?
Well, I don't know if it's a secret to good risotto, but I quite like the idea that when it's base flavours like this, they're not the main star. If I was making a celery risotto, I'd maybe leave some chunks in there. But I think when they're the sort of the flavour, the background flavours, you want them just to sort of meld with the rice. So you ideally, you want them about the same size as the rice.
Because they're really, really finely chopped.
I don't know, they're not quite finely enough, actually. But I'll keep chopping. But no, we'll leave them a little bit chunky. It doesn't matter one way or the other. But that's my little preference. Really.
I won't call you obsessive.
Well, it's weird because I'm quite lackadaisical in some ways. But I quite like, you know, if I've sort of worked out the way that I do something, I quite like to do it that way. But that's, yeah, maybe I'm obsessive.
No, I'm teasing.
Anyway, this is extraordinary big bits of garlic you've given me, which is lovely. Lovely sort of, you said this was from your local...
Yeah, just Mr. Troops, just in Brixworth. And he just is my local greengrocer. And I love going to talk to him. In fact, I often chat with him on the radio if I can, because he's so knowledgeable. And he's just got these really fabulous, great, chunky... garlic, and they're really firm for this time of year, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they're great actually, because often they're starting to get a bit sort of gnarled and flaky sometimes, garlic. So I was going to ask, have you got a bit of sea salt or something? I could.
Yeah, I'll just pop in the pantry here. Hang on, we'll rummage around in the pantry. You see, my pantry is desperately disorganised. Somewhere in here, let's have a look. We've got treacle. And
oh,
sugar.
Salt,
oh, there we are. You see, you've spotted. You must come more often.
Is it all right if I grind the garlic on here?
Yeah, absolutely. It's fine. It's not special.
So I'm just going to crush this garlic to a paste just with the side of the knife.
That's quite a unique way of doing it. I mean, that's the way I do it. Some people have to use a garlic crusher. This is so much easier.
Oh, it's so much easier. Garlic crushers are, you know, sorry to garlic crusher manufacturers out there, but actually... They're, by and large, they're a bit of a pain to clean. You know, this is just so easy. And, you know, there are very few times what you do, you chop up the garlic, relatively fine, put a sprinkle of coarsish salt on there and just sort of smear it around with the side. And you know, there are very few times when you're not going to put salt in something. So, you know, it's not problematic from that point of view. And you can go to a really, really fine sort of puree. Or you can leave it a little bit chunky. I mean, that's fine.
Really releases those oils in the garlic.
Well, I think it probably does. I mean, I think it, you know, it's just a much easier way of crushing garlic than using a garlic press.
Right, over to the cooker over here. We've got some olive oil, a little bit of olive oil. I put that in. In fact, I don't even know if that's in your recipe. Sorry. There we are. And some butter. We've doubled up the recipe here because there are quite a few of us eating. It's a heck of a board, isn't it? Here we are. I'm going to swipe that in.
And we'll just cook that.
You can hear that just sizzling there.
A little bit of a sizzle.
Hang on.
There we go. Great.
It's like having a workout carrying my chopping board around.
I'm getting ripped as you know. So we'll just... We just want that
in a nice wooden spoon in here. Here we go. Now, I regard...
Is that as low as that goes? Is that...
It can go lower.
Is that one, isn't it? Let's put that down a little bit.
So we're turning it down.
We want that to really just get lovely and soft and...
We're not looking for any colour in it.
Not looking for any colour, but you just want it to soften and the flavour, you know. So you want the garlic to soften, the flavours to soften. So it'll go soft and golden, but, you know, in a very pale way.
Have you seen this? Look at that.
Oh, look, it's a double-sided...
It's called a spon.
A spon? Yeah. What's it for?
It means that you don't get the rice caught
in the curve of the... Blimey.
How clever is that?
Gadgets. Crikey.
It's manufactured by the chap who won the best porridge maker in the world.
So is he a spurtle manufacturer? Does he use it for porridge then? Is that what
he uses it for porridge?
So it's a spurtle, basically.
I guess it must be, but he called it a spon. S-P-O-N.
Crikey. Maybe he uses it for making scones.
It certainly does the job.
It's great. I know, it's good. I'm intrigued. It looks like something designed by a sort of Belgian surrealist, if you know what I mean.
I really love it. I use it all the time in the kitchen. There we go.
Right, so hear just, this. Just want those to sort of
soften. Oh, that garlic's coming through,
down.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, my eyes are watering. So my head over there. And we'll clear down. So we've got the rice in there now.
Yeah, and you want to get the rice sort of quite nice and hot, not burning or browning, obviously, but just so that when you put, I'm going to put some wine in now, and I want that to be absorbed
as a first sort of layer of flavour. And then you just need to stir that in, and you want it to
sizzle quite nicely when it goes in. Not sizzle, that's not the right word, but you want it to, you want it to cook.
That'll burn the heat off. The alcohol.
It will burn the alcohol off, well, hopefully a little bit, but also you just want it to start sort of getting, start absorbing.
And then we need some stock as well.
Yeah, some stock's going to go in. So once that wine has been absorbed, you want to start adding the stock. So you've got quite a lot of rice here, so you want to do a good couple of ladlefuls. To go in, but just let that. I mean, everyone says you should stir risotto constantly. I don't think that's true, actually. I think you need to give it a good, vigorous stir from time to time. You don't want it to stick and you don't want it to burn. But you actually, I think if you leave it, you know, from time to time for the liquid to sort of bubble away, because you want the rice to cook. And I think you can often end up, you know, people get so worried about it being al dente that they end up not actually cooking it.
almost raw rice.
Yeah, but the stirring breaks up the starch on the outside and, you know, is the thing that makes risotto lovely and unctuous. But I don't think you need to do it constantly. Anyway, we've put in a bit of wine. A little drop more. And we just let that stir in and absorb.
This wine is a Sauvignon Blanc.
It is. It's not an ideal wine, actually, for risotto, because I think it's got quite a sort of distinct character, Sauvignon Blanc, and you almost want something that's just going to add a hint of acidity and flavour, but nothing too... This is quite sort of grassy, I would imagine.
Should we have a taste of it? I think it's a perk of the job, actually. Let's get a glass out here. Here we are. Let's have a taste of that and see if we can... There we go. Hang on. That's quite floral, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is.
No, it's a New Zealand one.
It's a New Zealand one, but it's got that Sauvignon thing of slightly gooseberry-ish aroma to it.
Oh, that is good.
Is it good?
It is. It's actually delicious, and it's got a lovely dry finish to it.
Mm, no, it is delicious. I still don't think it's ideal for risotto, but it's what we've got.
I was sent it by an online online company.
It is absolutely delicious, but I don't. By my, you know,
I'd definitely buy that. I could drink that.
I would totally drink that. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, in a way, you either want something sort of. I mean, you can use sort of dry vermouth in risottos and things because they have a bit of flavour in them. But it's just, I think the flavour profile of Sauvignon Blanc is just not quite right because it's so distinctive. And you get that sort of, that sharpness coming through, which is not what you want, really. You want it, I don't know, you don't want something that's so characterful, actually.
I don't worry, I'll finish the rest, Lucas.
Okay, you finish the rest. I've got a glass of red over here anyway.
Mm. That is actually... perfect way to make risotto, I think, it has to be with one hand stirring with a glass of wine in the
exactly.
other.
The sound of one hand stirring.
Mm, that's really good. Perfect Sunday afternoon. I have to say, it's typical Northamptonshire weather for March. It's raining.
I know, but we had sleet earlier.
Unbelievable. Absolutely incredible. Here we are.
Right, OK, so I think you can start adding the stock now. I don't know what size your ladle is or you're just going to pour
I'm going to use a jug, actually.
Okay.
Here we are.
So just pour in, you know.
I'm just making sure that stock has just worked its way through.
Okay.
And how much have I got in here? I've got 1 litre, but actually that's going to be very strong.
Right.
So I shall add a little bit of water in as we're going just to thicken it up.
That's good.
So
I will leave that up to your judgment.
And just a little drop at a time, really.
No, well, I would think you want the rice to. I would put in a good sort of, yeah, something like that to start with. That's a good sort of, you know, ladleful, a couple of ladlefuls, because you want the rice to actually be in contact with it, otherwise it's not going to cook properly. I think you could actually do a drop more there.
Yeah, okay. It's just sticking on the bottom, just sticking. So...
okay.
I'll pour, you
we
can...
We can turn this down a bit now, the heat. That's what we're doing there, that's fine.
There we go.
So you want to keep it... So you want to keep it sort of just simmering.
Bubbling, very quiet, yeah. Quietly
bubbling. And, you know, I think that's fine. See, I think one can leave that for just a minute or so, just so that the rice starts to do its thing and cook and soften. And then what I tend to do is I tend to let it sort of simmer away a little bit. Then I give it a really vigorous stir, and then I add my next bit of stock. So it's sort of, you know, you're still breaking up the starch, which is what gives it that lovely silky feel, but you know, you just give the rice a chance to just cook as well.
Well, that's taken about another, I'd say probably 12 or 13 minutes to come together. Do you think they just...
Well, after you've added the wine, when you add the first ladle of stock, I always reckon it takes 16, 17 minutes probably, yes. I mean, you know, to be precise. but something like that, yes. And what you want it to be, I would say it should flow a little bit like very slow moving lava. But you want there to be just a tiny bit of bite in the middle of the rice, but not hard, not chalkiness. Mm. You don't want it to be puddingy, so you don't want rice pudding. Mm. So it's just sort of stopping when you get to that point. And we've cooked the rice, we've added all the stock. I'm going to throw in some lemon.
Smell that lemon. We've got lemon zest, we've got basil, a little bit of black pepper over here, and we're going to add this.
We've got the prawns as well.
Interesting. The prawns are... They're not a British prawn, they're a Canadian prawn.
No, they're Canadian, they're just Atlantic prawns, so they're not tiger prawns or anything. They're just...
They're sustainable. That's what we were shopping earlier.
The Canadian... I'm just nibbling the matches, okay. But the Canadian prawn fishery in the Atlantic is sort of certified by... Well, certainly the prawn fishery is certified by the marine... what are they called? MSC, the Marine Stewardship Council.
I couldn't remember the name either.
And anyway, just while I'm here, I'm going to put some lemon zest in.
And this is all quite sort of last minute finishing off here. So we've got that lovely basil.
Some lovely flavours.
And you almost sort of have to serve it immediately to keep all those lovely flavours.
That'll be all right. We're going to put a squeeze.
Here we go.
I'm going to put a squeeze or two of lemon in there as well.
Lemon juice.
Let's see. Oh, I put a bit of a pip in there. Never mind. It's all.
I'm pip that out.
And there's another pip here. And we're just going to stir that in. And I'm going to put the prawns in.
Yeah, I've got one more pip.
One more pip. The odd pip doesn't matter. It's all good.
Mm.
We're
good to go. And I've altered your recipe slightly, haven't I?
We're
going to
put some brown shrimps in, because there were some lovely brown shrimps in the shop, so we're going to put some of those in. And then we'll see what happens. So I'm going to stir those in. Splash of cream, just a tiny splash.
You did say something very interesting, so I was asking about adding parmesan in, and you said the Italians don't believe in adding parmesan into
seafood.
Seafood.
Yes, you don't put cheese with seafood. That's the Italian rule. If you like it, then do. That's fine. I've just put a bit of cream, which just... makes this a bit more
rich,
a bit richer.
And I think the whole family's gathered; they're all waiting.
And we'll go. A bit more lemon. Might put some more basil. I know that's got to sit for a couple of minutes.
Has it?
So yes. So look,
guys, you're going to have to wait for another couple of minutes.
I've beaten in the cream. This is like where you would beat in the butter and the cheese normally with it. I'm just put a little splash more of that in there. And then I would cover that normally if I had a lid. And
I have an improvised lid.
So hang on. Take that off the heat.
I use a plate as a lid for this one.
Brilliant. Take that off the lid. I might just put a little bit of salt in there.
Okay.
Add a taste.
And that's actually been quite relaxing to make, apart from the end where we sort of had to put everything in quite quickly.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's hardly a hardship. If you just grate a bit of lemon and throw some stuff in, I might put a bit more basil in, actually.
Just we'll give it a real good lift. And basil, at this time of year, is absolutely delicious. Aha. Now we've got
I think it's... It's just, we're trying to create summer in springtime a little bit here. So I'm just going to throw those leaves in like that. We may even just put a little bit of basil on top, but we'll just leave that for a couple of minutes, just for the flavours to get to know each other, and off the heat, and then we'll come back to it, and we'll just put it into bowls, and we'll sprinkle a bit of basil on top, and then hey presto.
It tastes of strawberries.
Ah, well, what's it, a strawberry?
We're here, we're sitting at the table, we're eating the most delicious risotto ever. I mean, Bibiana, you're eating it, what do you think to it?
It's really, really nice. And there's one thing I like about the rice is that it's sort of like soft around the outside, and then it's sort of like, it's not uncooked, but it's still nice. It's sort of got a bit of bite to it in a way.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Thank you. Could have said anything more perfect. That's brilliant.
Oh, I didn't, not completely unprompted.
It's not like biting a piece of chalk, but it's just got a bit of texture in the middle.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'm going to ask William, have you had any yet, William? Are you going to try a little bit? No, well, I'm afraid to say that I'm not going to do any more talking to anybody, Lucas, because I have to eat this bowl in front of me. It's been absolutely delicious. Thank you so much for coming to our kitchen and cooking.
Yeah. Real pleasure. Sorry, I've got a mouthful of food, but it's... That's really great fun. Thank you so much.
They do let you down, don't they, kids?
I love the pizza!